Okay, let's jump right into hour number two here. Karen Smith is back, and I want all of you to be well aware of what's happening in South Africa. This is one of the greatest shames of many of the Donald J. Trump presidency. The simple fact that he will not do anything to help 3.5 million whites in South Africa. He won't do anything. Nothing. He won't even... All he had to do was issue a tweet, and he probably could have saved many lives already. The farm murders continue. And now something's going on down there that's really kind of humorous. The wealthy blacks are beginning to take or appropriate to steal the land of poor blacks and kick them off their own land. I mean, this is getting to be really loony. The horror of farm murders is unique on the planet. But this is now greed and arrogance being demonstrated by black against black. So there you go. Karen, welcome back. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Jeff. And as always, it's great to be on your show.
Thank you.
I have with me tonight my friend and colleague, Skalkwana Mather, who is in South Africa, because it always has greater impact if somebody who's actually there speaks about
what's happening. I didn't think that was you who coughed.
It probably was.
Was it? Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Skalk is there?
Thank you. Yes, I'm here, sitting here as quiet as mouse. It's not me calling. So it must be your ghost.
Welcome back, Skalk. Nice to have you back on again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Always a privilege. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Indeed, indeed. Karen, go ahead and set the stage here for what we're going to talk about. Go ahead.
We put together a small list of things. There's such a lot going on in South Africa. So we put together a small list of the things that we'd really like to talk about tonight. Firstly, we want to talk about the South African Defence Force being sent to the Cape to battle the gang warfare down there. Also, Jeff, I was listening to the first hour, and you were talking about the number of murders in Mexico in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that pale into insignificance with the number of murders in South Africa?
Of course. Absolutely.
At least 500,000 people, black and white, have been murdered in South Africa in the last 20 years. And Interpol says double that number, so make it 1 million.
Really?
Yes.
That's hell on earth is what it is.
Absolutely. Oh. And yet, this thing in Mexico is huge, and the deaths in Chicago are huge. But for the people in South Africa, black and white, colored and Khoisan, that are being murdered wholesale every day, there's just no pity for them whatsoever.
Wow.
Anyway,
Interpol says 1 million. I'm shocked. Yeah. That's really awful. Just awful.
It is. It is terrible, but nobody's looking. Anyway, so I would like, Skalk, if you don't mind, to talk about the lead-up to the SANDF being sent to Cape Town and the debacle that it's turning into.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes. Skalk, go ahead. Bring us up to speed on this. It's a very unusual kind of situation.
Thank you, Jeff. And I just want to reverse back to the actual number that you were discussing now, the amount of murders. Now, that is only from 1994. Prior to that, there was a whole other regime of stats being taken by the police and
right.
so forth. So this is only from 1994.
25 years.
And if a number, yes. And if a number of 1 million is thrown around, that is probably accurate. And I'm going to tell you why. The official statistics coming from the South African Police Services is about 500,000. Now, there's an institute in South Africa called the IRR, the Institute for Race Relations, which is well thought of. It's not a right-wing or it's not a conservative or all these other terms. It's actually a quite left-leaning, liberal type of organization. But it's thought very well high off. And they say, according to their statistics, about 4 out of 10, 40% of crime in South Africa is reported. Now, if you take that 40% recorded, it means that 500,000 people murdered that we know of, that's reported to SAPS, will most probably tally to more than 1 million overall. So yes, we're definitely dealing with about 1 million people being murdered in South Africa, supposedly crime. There's a lot of other reasons people get murdered in South Africa, ethnic, race, anything and everything. So okay, let's put that as context to what I'm going to tell you about the South African Defence Force now. In the Western Cape province of South Africa, it's basically the southwestern area of the Old Cape province in South Africa. You always picture South Africa as Table Mountain, this beautiful blue mountain, table-topped mountain, the classical face of South Africa being Table Mountain. That's the backdrop to the city of Cape Town. And just on the other side of the mountain, you have what is called the Cape Flats. It's flat lands. It's in the olden days, it was basically marshes and so forth that they dried out, and people living there. So that's the area that we were speaking about. In those areas, the people living there are mostly colored. Now, colored, it's a slightly different term in South Africa than in the United States. Colored are mixed breed people, mostly from slaves, and slaves imported from the East. In other words, Malay, Indian type of people, but they intermixed with the Khoisan and the Khoi people and the San people, and even white people in South Africa. So they are wholly distinct from the black band to people living further up north in South Africa. Now, amongst them, they have tremendous, tremendous gang violence. Very strong gangs. They resemble the American gangs tremendously. They even enact like the American gangs. So there's a proper gang war that's been raging there, like you would have in many areas in your big cities and so forth, for many, many, many years. And I think by now, it's generally accepted that police can't contain that gang war anymore. It's impossible. It's just too big. It's just too violent. Basically, everything is being affected by it. And then a very curious thing happens in South Africa, and I'm laughing now because it is very curious. In South Africa, during the past two or three months, there were talks of the South African Defence Force being deployed into those areas now to stem this gang violence and gang wars. Now, why do I laugh about this? The South African Defence Force is a defence force on paper. It's a totally dilapidated defence force.
Skulk, one question.
Yes.
When you mentioned South African Defence Force, you're talking about what used to be the South African military, correct?
Yes. The old, you remember the pictures of the Bush War, of the troopies in the Browns and the
yes.
camos going into Angola fighting that war. It's not that. It's dilapidated. It's dilapidated. It's basically non-existent. It's AIDS-ridden. It's corruption-ridden. It's not the defense force anymore. There's certain elements, certain parts of it that's still, at least you can deploy them, but it's not the defense force of yesteryear. Don't think that we're speaking in any way like that. Just to put the footnote, not very long ago they had maneuvers in especially in the Western Cape, and I think at that point already, Karen, I think at that point already they were contemplating sending the defence force to the Western Cape, because they had maneuvers there very close on Cape Town, and it became a total laughing stock. The video footage coming out of there of tanks being bogged down in the sand on the beaches and stuff like that. It was
so ridiculous. So let me ask you this also. One quick question, Karen. What is the composition of these South African Defence Forces now? What, 90% black?
99% black. I think this is
so it's all gone black.
Yeah.
So this is turning into a Hollywood grade comedy, is what you're saying. A joke.
Absolutely. Yes. Jeff, yes. I will send you a link to a video where these guys are practicing marching. I laughed until I was in tears at this thing. And even their commanding officer or whatever was hysterical about it. He says, well, I'm allowed to laugh because I'm an officer, but I will send it to you to attach to the show, because your audience would listeners will then understand exactly why we are laughing so much.
Jeff, they bought, you will remember the weapons scandal not very long ago, about 20 years ago, 10 years ago in South Africa, the weapons scandal, where they went out and they bought these incredibly expensive submarines from Germany. Those submarines are
state-of-the-art German diesel submarines. Yeah, I remember.
They're standing in dry dock. They can't even go to sea. They don't how to. They literally don't know how to operate it underseas.
Skulk, the commander of those submarines, said that they are there to chase sharks away from our shore.
In an official media statement on national TV, he was going on about chasing sharks out of the rivers in South Africa with the submarines. So we got
that's honest to God what he was saying. The commander was saying that, using the submarines to chase sharks.
Yes.
Oh my.
So we were sitting. We old guys. We were sitting here like, did we really hear that? Is somebody joking now? Is this for real? But anyways, that's the background to this whole thing.
Grim.
Now they are deploying this defense force into the Cape ganglands, the Cape flatlands, the Cape flats, into gangland. And I mean, these.
So the South African defense forces are really disintegrating into gang factions, you're saying?
No. I think they are too dilapidated to even become gangs. They are now officially, by government instruction, being deployed into the Western Cape to now go and stem the gang war between the colored gangs.
So supposedly
to back up the police so that the police can do their work. Now, we know the police can't do their work, and the army, the army can't do their work. So basically, it's now nincompoops helping nincompoops trying to fight gang wars, to stem the gang
wars. We used to call them the Keystone Cops. Totally idiots, morons, bungling fools, and that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, so now the army was deployed into this area. A lot of jokes on South African social media about this, and when you go to the cafe to go buy your milk, soldiers came to march with you and stuff like that. It was simply taken as a joke. And then we all of a sudden hear, but now the army is being withdrawn from those areas because they observed what was going on. Now, come on. Everybody realizes what happened. I think within the first 2-3 days, everybody on ground level realized that if the army stays here and there's open conflict with these gangs, gang be wild, and that means that South Africa particularly do not have any internet, but means that we have a failed state.
Karen, also, come in here for a minute. We got breaking up a little bit down there. Go ahead.
Is it also not international law that you cannot deploy your army against your own citizens?
Yes. Remember, the moment that you do that, it's an acknowledgement that there's a situation of civil war at least. The moment that you deploy your own troops against your citizens, because the colored gangs, never mind that they are gangsters, they are still citizens of South Africa. So the moment that you deploy troops against them, now I will get back to that in a moment, then it is civil war. Now, they were very careful in not painting it as such. They said now they are there in support of the police and trying to go and stabilize the situation, etc. But the moment a gangster shot at the soldier and the soldier shot back, that was technically, in terms of international law, a civil war. It's a simple.
I understand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeff, you need to understand as well that they've sent the army in to help the police, but the police are closing police stations at night because they are too scared to have the police station open. So originally what they did was they brought in private security to guard the police stations at night. Now a whole bunch of police stations are closing during the hours of dark because they're terrified of being alone there at night. So that is our police force. And we've
the country is, Karen, the country is headed toward total disintegration. Once you start shutting down police stations, there's no turning back.
Absolutely, Jeff. But at the same time, we have given the Chinese permission to have 13 Chinese police stations manned by their own people.
So, yes, and there's a little bit more sprinkling onto your Kellogg's list this morning. When you realize what the situation is at those police stations, they are being guarded by private security. Now, let that sink in for a moment. Our police, in many areas, in most areas, are guarded by private security. Okay,
I get it. Are these mercenaries? They are technically they are, but I mean, are they local black private security? Are they white? Are they colored? Who are they?
The ordinary South African security industry, I will explain that to you also, ordinary security guards, not highly trained, not mercenary-type, well-armed people, just maybe a guy with a baton standing outside the police station stopping people from going out. We're not dealing mercenary-type operatives here. But then the South African government realized that all of a sudden there's between 400,000 to 500,000 security guards in South Africa. Some of them are very highly trained. Some of them are mercenary type. Some of them are close protection type. And I think they got a real fright when they realized that, because now all of a sudden they also want to implement certain legislation to even restrict that.
Right.
So in other words, we are literally dealing with this comedy of errors. I always speak of the Twilight Zone. We're literally moving into the Twilight Zone. The army itself, the deployment of the army into the gang wars of the Cape Flats, it was a total waste of time, money, and it became the laughingstock of the country. I think everybody in South Africa realizes now that the army, neither the army nor the police, can actually put law and order back on ground level if hell breaks loose. And remember, that has been the scenario that I've been preaching about for many years. This thing of the EFF, which is much more violent, much stronger than these gangs in the Cape. If those guys decide tomorrow to go to the streets, it's civil war time now. We're going to start chopping up and killing everybody that we don't like. The whites being first, the police and
no
the
way to stop them.
Him, full stop. It's not going to happen. Then we have a full proper civil war of people going to fight against one another.
Skulk, you also need to mention the fact that they want to disarm the private security forces.
Yes. The legislation comes down to that they want to disarm the security guards, because obviously most of the firepower in South Africa is now in the hands of the private security industry. That's a fact. We as citizens, we can own guns, but we're not speaking of high-powered AR type of guns. For that, you can, but you need licensing and practice, and there's so many restrictions in law that basically you can forget of acquiring one. We can have simple handguns, Glock 19, that type of weapon to carry as a sidearm, and maybe a hunting rifle. So we're not prepared for war. We are maybe prepared for war because you know how the opposition looks like. But we're not as citizens in a position like your militias to actually fight back if we are being attacked.
Skulk, it's only a matter of time before this happens. The EFF, they'll just turn into a militia of their own. They'll start running rampant. Sounds like after the U.S. Civil War in the South, there were militias all over the place running completely wild. I don't see anything good coming. I don't see any international intervention. We have had nothing from President Trump in over 30 months in office, not even a single tweet threatening the ANC or the communists down there to stop, or he will issue sanctions. Nothing. Not a word, to his greatest shame.
So, Jeff, now we've set the scene of the army and the police force.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about is our transport system and how many trucks have been looted, hijacked, with the drivers killed or burnt alive since January this year.
Since January of this year. Now, these are vans, delivery trucks, tractor trailers. These are all kinds of trucks.
These are 18-wheelers, mostly 18-wheelers, because service in South Africa is pathetic. We'll talk about that if we have time.
Yeah,
but they are the main means of transporting everything in South Africa. Everything that comes from the coast inland comes in an 18-wheeler. So, Skulk, would you take over, because you've got the figures?
Yes, we don't know. Once again, we don't know exactly how many, but reported is well over 1,000 trucks being attacked and burned and destroyed. And in many instances, most instances...
In 7 months.
Also
yes. 1,000 trucks, most of the drivers killed in 7 months.
Yes.
Well, you see, when the drivers say it's too dangerous and they quit driving, that is the absolute end. It descends into complete chaos, anarchy, and death.
That is exactly what happened already. Now,
Skulk, hold on.
Thanks.
Hold on, I've got to take a break here. We'll come right back. Hold on, Skulk. I want to hear about this in detail. We'll be right back with Skulk and Karen Smith in just a couple minutes. Hold on. Back after this. Okay, and welcome back. Talking with Karen Smith and Skulk from spelled S-C-H-A-L-K, Skulk, in South Africa. All right, my friend, go ahead down there.
Let me just pick up on what issue did you want me to talk to you now about, Jeff?
Well, Skulk, well, I'm really talking about the trucks being burned and
the 18-wheelers. And see, there's an expression here in the States, if you bought it, a truck brought it. And you're saying the same thing down there. Trucks are absolutely carrying all goods and services, such as they are in packages and so forth. And when they stop running, and if this continues, they're going to. People, drivers just won't go. That's the end. And if starvation sets in, wow. This could get real bad real fast.
Because just before the break, we spoke about this. There's about 1,000 trucks that we know of that have been burned since January this year. Once again, that we know of. There can be many more. And we were speaking about the drivers, and eventually they will get scared of driving and just simply stop doing that. But it has happened already. Many of the older white drivers, because most of the fleets running in South Africa, and it's huge, extensive fleets, we speak thousands upon thousands of trucks, were actually run by white drivers. And many of those drivers just simply left the profession. It's just too dangerous for them. Not even about the burning, these new spates of burning, previously because of hijackings and the high incidence of crime and theft and all these things relating to the industry. So most of those old drivers, old school drivers, left. Many of the black drivers are also leaving, and they have been leaving in their scores. And we're sitting with a compounded problem here that most of them are AIDS-ridden anyway. So it's just a matter of time, few months, a few years, and so forth, and then a driver would basically die because of the AIDS epidemic in South Africa. Now, they are being taken over to a large extent by Zimbabwean. Yes, Zimbabwean drivers. Huh. And this is where many of the incidents of burning of trucks comes from now, because now that the EFF, and well, I don't know if it's the EFF per se, but let's suppose they're also...
For our listeners, EFF is a political party of black radical activists.
Yes, because they are running this thing now of we must get rid of the foreign drivers because they are taking away the jobs of the South African drivers, and much of the violence is coming from that. So now even the Zimbabwean drivers, now they came across the border now, many of them legally. Otherwise, they won't be able to drive because they won't be able to procure a license. So they are here legally, many of those Zimbabwean drivers. Now they are being targeted. So yes, it's a matter of time before the whole system is going to bog down. The police can't protect thousands upon thousands of trucks running every single day, every single hour. It's impossible. What are we going to have? I always speak of the Mad Max scenario, that movie Mad Max. I think that we're there. We're going to see close
Mad Max.
Convoys of
our, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. highly armed type of convoys running to get food and stuff and fuel to the cities. I think this is literally where we are at this point in time. Give us a little bit more than half a year, maybe a full year, and we're going to start seeing.
Yeah.
We already see. I drive a lot. I already see that many of these trucks run in convoy. They run at high speed in convoy on we have very very long and tight. Roads, fortunately, in South Africa, many stole from the old regime. So you will see that often. That is where we're going. That is where we're going. And yes, we don't have a proper rail system anymore. That has been dilapidated and burnt up and everything. So how are you going to move basic foodstuffs? How are you going to move fuel? Because that's our biggest problem. Are you going to move fuel from the coast? We don't have, except for Sasol in Sasolburg, not very far from here. We don't have refineries here up in the interior of the country. Our refineries are on the coast because we import most of our crude oil.
Right.
So are we going to run fuel into
yeah,
in,
yeah,
into
of course. The country? Who's gonna move the fuel around? Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, that's the scenario that we are facing at this point.
So, Skulk, that leads directly into the train burnings and the whole disaster with the trains that they spent billions on that don't run on South African rails.
Yes, that also, I'm once again smiling. In South Africa, we smile a lot because we can't cry about everything. But that's exactly what happened. So these government bigwigs, they go overseas most probably, and I will state this most probably because of bribes and so forth. And they go look at Chinese trains and at American trains and European trains, and everywhere they are buying trains from at billions and billions and billions of rands. And the trains come to South Africa, and we realize two things. Number one, our rail gauge is different from many of the European and Asian countries. In other words, our
How did that happen? How did that happen? That's strange.
They simply didn't measure. Many of our tracks are built by our rail set on setup. Where I'm not a technician in this area, but I suppose certain tracks are a little wider and less wider. I know in the Second World War the Germans had a similar problem when they started moving into the east and into Russia. Their trains couldn't go on those tracks. But somehow that was the first problem. So our tracks were wrong to the rolling stock. But they found certain other problems, and this is even more ludicrous that many of our train bridges and thoroughfares and things were simply not wide enough to take the trains that they were buying. So they basically ended up with billions of rands of trains that can't move on the existing rail system.
Right.
This is what literally happened. Okay.
All right.
In South Africa.
Go ahead, Skulk. No, go ahead.
No, we do have the capability of building our own trains. We've always done that. But once again, as the burning of the trucks, we've had tremendous damage done to the rolling stock, the existing rolling stock.
I understand. Karen has made that point. I think I ran a couple videos about that. They're burning trains down faster than they can be rebuilt and replaced.
Yes.
They're really the country is headed back to the Stone Age, bit by bit by bit, and it's moving inexorably in the wrong direction. This is going to be ending up with mass murder, genocide, cannibalism, you name it, unless some international agency steps in to stop it.
And
when you're saying cannibalism, sometimes people think that we are over exaggerating.
Oh, no. Tell them more.
We have cannibalism already in certain of the deep rural areas because there's literally no food. We have it already. Now imagine for yourself, official statistics in South Africa says we have about 50 to 60 million people. I think we're closer to 70, 80 million people. If you see the urban sprawl, just simply stretching all the way from where you cross the Vaal River, not very far from where I am, all the way up to Messina in the north where we go into Zimbabwe. It's all urban sprawl. It's all squatter camps. There's no way that we can only be 50 million people in this country. But let's suppose for one moment we are 50 to 60 million people. If for 6 months we sit with a situation, for 3 months we sit with a situation that the trucks can't run, the farmers can't plant, the silos are being ravaged and stolen, we are going to sit with 60 million people, 60 million mouths not being fed. And then we're not dealing with small-scale problems like we had in Ethiopia a few decades ago, and Somalia and those areas, and even Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has a population of about 6 million people. It's small. It's like a South African city. It's small. We're sitting with a problem that's 10 times that big. Where are you going to get food to feed 60 million people? Is USAID going to fly us food into South Africa?
Don't hold your breath. No.
Are they going to feed 60 million hungry mouths? It's impossible. It cannot happen. So what is
Can't
going
be done.
To happen?
Yeah. And I don't think China is going to step in there. The Chinese don't like blacks. That's well known. They really don't like them. And that doesn't mean that Chinese aren't involved in certainly sub-Saharan Africa. They are. But I don't know how much China will want to get involved with that. They might wait till it all falls apart and then move in and pick up the pieces. I don't know.
Well, somebody will have to fill the void. If the void is not being filled, we're going to have a total implosion, not only of South Africa, because South Africa is basically the economic heart of all sub-Saharan Africa. Outside of Nigeria, Nigeria is basically, it's fuel-filled. It's run on its huge oil production. So Nigeria would be fine. But the rest of Africa, south of the Sahara Desert, that's basically three-quarters of the continent, is going to fall with us. It's not going to be a South African problem. You're going to see a whole continent just simply falling into itself, basically collapsing.
Uh-huh. Sure, I understand.
I'm not being alarmist. You can go and fact-check me on these things. The listeners can fact-check me. South Africa is still the economic powerhouse, basically providing everything into Africa. Even down to white engineers, because many of our white engineers are moving northwards to go on and work in the mines and the plants and all the things up north. A whole continent is most probably going to fall down. Now, Mr. Trump, and I'm speaking now in the same vein that you spoke earlier, just one or two tweets from you. Leave all this nonsense now with the people trying to get rid of you and impeach you in Congress. That's not going to happen. They don't have the balls and they don't have the means to do that. But please, for God's sake, just give us one or two tweets from your Twitter account.
That's all it would take.
It's going to make a difference. It did make a difference when you had that little small pee-pee tweet of, we're looking at the South African situation. It caused a ruckus for at least 3 weeks, so much so that our president went out and tried to counter that. Give us two full tweets, and I can promise you it's going to have a major impact in the South African situation.
Scott,
Karen,
So, Jeff, can we talk about the expropriation without compensation? Because article this morning said that we are hungry. We want our land back. Expropriation without compensation is officially back on Parliament's agenda. Mm-hmm. So amending Section 25 of the Constitution is officially before Parliament again. They have passed a motion on Thursday, that's today, to establish an ad hoc committee to draft an amendment to allow expropriation without compensation. Now, we've been talking about Southern Africa going hungry because of South Africa. This is going to be the thing that does it, because our farmers are not even planting this year because they see no reason to take loans from the banks that they are going to have to repay when their farms are taken away.
That's a fact.
Can you go up?
Yes, I live in a deep rural area by choice. I love living in the Free State Province. Free State Province being the breadbasket. It's like the Ukrainian steppes and the prairies. That type of a scenario, we're literally the breadbasket of most of South Africa. Or most of the mealies, it's corn. Most of South Africa lives on mealies. It's our staple food. It comes from where I live. And my friends did not plant this year. It's now the second year they haven't planted. Last year it was very small because we had tremendous droughts. It was not worthwhile to plant. And this year, most of my friends just simply said, we're not going to plant. If the government is threatening that they're going to come and take our land, and then you will remember the banks came out to say, well, even if they take your land, you must still repay your loans, which is ludicrous. My friends as farmers, they just simply said, we're not putting anything into the ground. Sorry, guys, that's your problem now. And this is really where we're sitting. We have stockpiles of mealies in huge silos all over the place, very well established system of siloing and storing of grains in South Africa, right. Once again coming from the old regime. But that will take a few months to basically also empty those silos. It's going to run into food shortage. It's going to become that. Not even expropriation without compensation don't even have to take place for us to have a crisis already next year. But it's being compounded by this whole issue. And remember, I want to emphasize this, the rhetoric about expropriation in South Africa is we are now going to return the land to the landless black people from whom it was stolen. Number one, it was never stolen. Number two, you are blatant liars. You're not going to return it to black ownership. The law specifically speaks of expropriation, and the state will own the land. It's communist. Nothing to do with black people. It's communist.
They
want to be owned by government. That's it. Full stop.
Karen, there were more murders recently, which, again, didn't make any news here. I saw them. How many more fatalities do we know about?
The figures are astronomical this year. They have jumped horrifically since the elections in whenever March, I think it was. Skulk, was it March?
Yeah, it's so long ago. It feels so long ago. I can't even remember. Yeah, I think March, April. But yes, from the elections, there was just a spike in reported white murders, reported farmers. There's a spike. This week alone in the Free State, my province, I know of about five or six very, very, very serious incidents of murder. Once again, elderly people. Once again, in the most brutal way that you can think of. So there's definitely a spike. There's no doubt about it. In my mind, there's no doubt about it.
And again, as well, Jeff, the land grab. So we're talking about expropriation without compensation, but they are taking the land anyway. There was a video out this week of a land grab near Stilfontein, and you see the cars. They are BMWs and Jaguars. They are good cars parked alongside of the road with these blacks who are picking up their piece of land with posts and a string. And by the following morning, there are 1,000 tracks already up on that land. So it is definitely coordinated, because poor people do not have the money, A, to drive that kind of car, and B, to put up a shack, a tin shack, overnight. And this is happening all over the country, driven by Malema, who is the leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters. It is happening everywhere, and you cannot get rid of them. Now, there's a group of security force people called the Red Ants, and they are brought in at enormous cost to owners of land to drive these people off the land, because once
the red ants, Karen, the red ants,
the red ants, yes, because of the red overalls that and hard hats that they wear. And they charge a fortune to come in and clear your land for you, because what, I think it's 24 hours. If they've been on the land 24 hours, then you have to go to court to get them off. But now the red ants are also, they're also talking about disbanding the red ants so that nobody has any chance of getting rid of these squatters on their land. Now, a wine farm in the Cape, a squatter camp was built on the borders of the this wine farm, a well-established, old, well-known, wonderful winemaker. Now, when they establish, when the government establishes a squatter camp, they have to put up some kind of fence between the properties, but they did not do this. So the squatters started moving onto the farmer's land, and he got the red ants twice at enormous cost to get rid of them. Well, the third time they came back, he could not afford to get the red ants anymore. And they threatened him, we are going to kill you. So they crept closer and closer to the house, and eventually they did kill the man. Skulk, that the facts of that are correct, are they not?
Yeah, it's basically what happened. It's that, well, I can't remember his surname now. It was a very expensive, very rich farmer, and very well established in that area. The farm also belonging to his family for generations, dating back hundreds of years. But that's basically the gist of what we were seeing. And that was reported on extensively by media. But that is a common occurrence. I drive up into Gauteng province on a weekly basis to go and work there. I'm a lawyer by profession. And I'm not exaggerating when I say every time I drive there, there's a new city being built next to the road. A whole city, not a few squatter huts coming up. Every time I drive there, somewhere a new city is all of a sudden appearing out of nowhere. I don't know where all these people come from. I don't.
A new city? You say a new city, Skulk?
Yeah, a shanty city. Literally, I think we need to show him those pictures. There were media reports earlier this week or last week, Karen.
Well, who's building these cities? Who's putting up the money? Where's the infrastructure coming from?
There's no infrastructure. It's shanty. It's
shanty town cities.
Yes, but they're huge, sprawling, with thousands of people in them in a week. You can have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people overnight. Yeah. You can have 1,000 of these shacks put up. So they are definitely being funded by somebody. It can't happen planned. But then again, Soros and his open something or other charity is highly involved in all of this in South Africa.
Yeah, so, I want to explain something. Sorry, I'm interrupting now. I agree. Yes, Soros open whatever society. It's just a nice word for making trouble all over the world. But I want to explain something that even amazed me. There's a black organization in South Africa called SANCO, South African National Civics Organization. Black organization, civics organization. Very far left leaning. They're traditionally part of the ANC. They support the ANC. SANCO came out last week to say, we don't know what's going on. For us, this is now troubling because we don't know where all these people are coming from and putting up new towns. Now, remember, for SANCO, that is also a problem because the people, they have run the inner cities, the inner black cities. They have run that. And now, all of a sudden, there's a lot of new black cities, shanty cities coming up that they can't even control. So the rogue organizations like SANCO is now even coming out and saying, but we don't understand what's going on. Now, if we end up in that situation, we within months from a failed state, it's going to happen. It is going to happen.
It sounds to me like these shanty towns are ripe for disease outbreaks, cholera. Who could predict? I mean, these people are obviously ready for disease.
And then the local taxpayers have to, their businesses get burnt down because these squatter camps are demanding services. They want running water, they want electricity. So they go into the towns and they burn the local businesses down because they're not getting what is their due. I've just found an article that was March the 27th last year saying Soros activists voting land grab in Cape Town. So it is definitely part of him.
All right. We're out of time. Let me get a final comment from Skulk, please. We're out of time. I'm sorry, Skulk. Wonderful report. What do you have to add here? Got about 60 seconds.
I just wanted to take half a minute. You're speaking of the possible disaster coming out of this. Just page back about a year back, you had this huge problem in the Vaal River area, the Vaal River giving basically providing water for the Free State and Gauteng province. You had the tremendous ecological disaster there. That was a direct result of these shanty towns springing up around the smaller feeding rivers of the Vaal River. So yes, you've seen that already. Jeff, we need very, very clear and very strong action from our American brothers at this point in time. Now.
I wish.
Now. We need it from media. We need it from good people in America. If you're not going to step up, you're going to see the worst humanitarian situation since the Second World War. I can promise you that Vietnam is going to look like something out of a play school book.
I believe you.
Really,
I believe you.
All of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Skulk, you be safe. Thank you very much for the update. Wonderful news as far as descriptions. You made the points. We get it. It's too bad that we can't look to our president for the leadership that he owes us to begin with, but certainly on a larger scale as a world figure. What is it going to cost him to send a few tweets threatening the South African punk thug government communists? It makes me sick. I'm ashamed. But Skulk, you be well. Take care. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Okay, Karen. Yeah, all right. You be well too, my dear. And if I can do anything for you, you know how to get in touch with me.
I do. Thank you very, very much, Jeff. Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night. Okay. There's an update on South Africa, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Those kinds of things, God forbid, could eventually happen here. If we don't get hold of the invasion, Trump isn't going to do it. He's welcoming these people in. He will not honor his oath of office. I've said it before. He will not obey the Constitution. What does that make him? You fill in the blank. We'll be right back.